You see, what's happening to a lot of us is we've forgotten our first love, and therefore we don't have any vision for the future. We don't think about things. We just kind of accept things the way they are, and we begin to perish. What is this all about? Faith and God-inspired imagination. Well, you got to understand that I have a group of guys that I get together with that are all over the country. Most of them are up north. They're very spiritual men. They're not Church of Christ preachers, but they're preachers. And we get together and we discuss things every so often. And I was with them and I told them about my 20th year anniversary. And of course, they were congratulating me and things like that. And I said, but I really want to look for the next 5 years. What am I going to be doing for the next 5 years? You know, Nancy says don't plan out too far in advance. She may not let me live that long. But she was okay with 5 years. So I was thinking about what do I want to do, and I was discussing this with them, and one of the guys looked at, or we were on Zoom, and he looked into the camera, and he says, Neil, if you could do anything for God and His kingdom, what would it be? And I've been toying with that thought. What could I do? What kind? And you have to have imagination in order to do that, don't you? As a matter of fact, look at what it says here from Helen Keller. I love this quote. What would be worse than being born blind? And that is to have sight and no vision. We've got to have vision for tomorrow. It doesn't mean that everything we think about is going to come true, but it does mean we need to think about things and we need to have a faith-inspired imagination. You see, the Bible tells us that there are three things that we are not, or that we need to look at. First of all, number one, we shouldn't imagine some things. We shouldn't imagine some things. Some things should not be imagined. Jesus was talking, and he was talking about looking at a woman to lust. Several years ago, I had a friend, older gentleman, and he and I were talking. This was before I had kids, and I asked him, I said, what's the difference between looking at a woman and admiring their beauty and lusting after them? Because I was trying to figure that out. He said, oh, Neil, it's real easy. He says, when you start to undress that woman in your mind, that's when you're lusting after her. So there's some things we shouldn't imagine. There's some things we can't imagine. I was reading in Ephesians chapter 3 today and reading about the love that Paul wanted for his church. And I cannot wrap my head around the love that God has for me and for others. The verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And I try to wrap my head around that, and I just can't do it. Because I have two sons, and I can't even imagine giving them up for any of you, much less for a whole dark and depraved world. So there's some things that we can imagine, but there are some things that we should imagine, and that is the dreams that God gives us through our faith. Whenever there is a new Christian, and I'm speaking to them, they have all of these ideas about what they want to do and how fast they're going to grow and things like that. And unfortunately, they generally get around people that have been in the church for a long time, and it dampens their enthusiasm. But some of you are here today, you've been walking with God for a long time, and you've forgotten that God gives you dreams. He gives you imagination. He wants you to have goals and objectives. If you'll open up your sermon notes, I've got imagination, dreams, goals, and objectives. And you may be thinking, why is this so important? Why would you be preaching on this? The reason why is imagination shapes my life and my faith. You see, imagination is going to shape my life and my faith. Most everything that we have done, we've had to do on faith. Whether you've taken a step towards education, you had to think, I can complete that. You had to see yourself walking down the aisle when you got married. Amen. You had to have some kind of imagination because it shapes your life, but it will also shape your faith. Look at what Proverbs chapter 23 in verse 7. For as a man thinks, or as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Long before I started preaching, I loved kids and liked talking to them, and I still do this from time to time. I'll find a young kid, maybe 9 or 10, and I'll ask them, what are you going to do when you grow up? And you know, you get the responses, I'm going to be a policeman, I'm going to be a fireman, I'm going to be an astronaut, I'm going to be president of the United States. And I was always hoping that one of these kids would have something that I was interested in so I know what to do with my life. But you see, as you think about yourself, so are you. If you spend your days thinking, I am an awful person, nobody wants to be around me, my life stinks, guess what? It's going to be that way. But if you spend your life that God has given me purpose in this life, and it's so much bigger and so much greater than just attending here on Sunday mornings, that's what your life's going to be. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Above all, be careful what you think. Underline those words. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I think sometimes we need to start thinking about things that are eternal and quit thinking about the things that are only temporal. There is so much that is distracting us today, so much that's distracting the church today, and they're not bad things. There's movies, there's entertainment, there's travel, there's all kinds of things that we can do that God has blessed us with, but sometimes we get so focused on that we don't think about eternity. We don't think about the consequences of our everyday actions as far as determining eternity, maybe not for ourselves, but maybe for someone else. We've become so comfortable with the here and now that we've stopped thinking about what God has in store for us in all eternity. Well, the second thing I want you to see here is why we should have a God or a faith-filled imagination. Great lives are built around great dreams. Great lives are built around great dreams. I watch so many people come and go out of this church, and some of you are just amazing in your walk with God, and some of you, I'm going to just say it how I see it, you go through life and you might as well be Eeyore. I've been to churches and I've seen it happen where you go to churches and the singing is awful. Because it's more like being at a funeral than it is like being in front of people that are celebrating God. And I've watched some of you sing standing on the promises when really all you're doing is sitting on the premises. And the reason for that is you don't have a faith-inspired dream. And you're not letting the things of God become the things of you. And that's what I'm trying to get at this morning. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. Your eyes focus and clear so that you can see exactly what He is calling you to do. And underline this, grasp the immensity of His glorious way of life He has for Christians. Underline those words, because God's promised us. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. And a lot of us are just going through the motions. A lot of us are just waiting for the next thing to come along that we have to care for or that we have to take care of. And we don't think about the things of the kingdom. And we don't think about others. We are so focused on the here and now that we've forgotten to look at the things that are unseen. Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. You see, what's happening to a lot of us is we've forgotten our first love. And therefore, we don't have any vision for the future. We don't think about things. We just kind of accept things the way they are. And we begin to perish. I love this verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more, underline those words, immeasurably more than all we ask, and underline this, ask or imagine. Who can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is worked within us? I was thinking back when we built this building, and we were a little nervous about it. I was especially nervous because when we built this building, Ronnie Jackson came to me and said, Neil, would you be all right if we didn't pay you this week? And fortunately, I did have some money in the bank, so I'd be all right. But I never missed a paycheck, but we were worried about whether or not they were going to be able to pay me. And one of the things that I'll never forget, we were meeting, and the very first time we met, there was about 80 of us that came over here, and the very first Sunday, there was 120. And before we knew it, we were having to buy more seats and more chairs, and we were filling up this building. But I remember at the very beginning, we came in here, and we had a service. We actually broke the law because we didn't have a certificate of occupancy. We just came in here with lounge chairs, and we met, and we sang, and we prayed to God, and we praised God for what he was doing with this building and so forth. And we're in here, and I remember one of the elders looking at me saying, you know, this church is going to be big enough for a long time, because we couldn't even imagine what God was going to do at this location. And I'm telling you that because you need to find some vision in your life of something that you're going to do, a ministry you're going to have, and then you need to pray to God. And look at what I got in your notes here. Let the size of your dreams be determined by the size of our God. Let the size of your dream be determined by the size of our God. And God is able to do more than we can even ask or imagine. But sometimes we don't give God credit for that. Well, what keeps us from dreaming? What keeps us from having a vision, a God-given vision? What keeps us from becoming what God wants us to be? I think doubt and negativity are the enemies of faith-filled dreams. I think doubt and negativity is what kills a lot of dreams. And I've seen it in the church where somebody comes up with an idea, we're going to do this, and then somebody else comes along and starts talking about why it won't work and why it's not going to be. It's that doubt and negativity that kills us. I'm reading a book right now by an author's name is Daniel Amen, which I thought was pretty and funny. He is actually, he worked with Saddleback Church for several years working on their Daniel plan. And he wrote a book, and it's called Change Your Brain and Change Your Life. He's a spiritual man. He grew up Catholic. I'm not sure where he attends now. But when he grew up Catholic, he was so spiritual and so ingrained in the Catholic Church that at one time he thought about becoming a priest. But then he realized that no one would take him seriously when they called him Father Amen. So he went into psychiatry, and he does brain scans and things like that. But one of the things that he was talking about in his book is that if you want to harm your brain, one of the things that you can do to harm your brain is being around negative people. Now, most of us know that intuitively because we're around negative people, not positive, kind of down, you know, the Eeyore types. And we're around those people for long enough, and then, you know, after an hour or so, you walk away and you go, man, I need a nap. But on the other side of that, when you're around people that are spirit-filled, that are positive in their thinking, that have vision for the church, that have vision for other people, that have a love for God's kingdom, and those that are lost, you can spend 3 hours with them and you still feel energized. But negativity and doubt will kill those dreams. Look at what it says here in Mark chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. Jesus said, if there are no ifs among believers, there's no negativity among believers, anything can happen. The sooner were the words out of his mouth than the Father cried, then I believe, help me with my doubts. You see, a lot of times we're going to have doubts about what can be, what should be, and if it's a God-inspired dream, if it's a God-inspired vision for your life or for the church, you're going to have doubts, but you just need to keep praying to God, help me with my doubts. Number four, one of the reasons why we don't dream faith-inspired dreams is because we're not in God's Word and we don't have His Spirit. Because God's Word / His Spirit fuels my dreams. You see, I can tell sometimes when people are in the dumps, it's because they've not spent enough time in the Word. They have not spent enough time with God's people. They have not spent enough time in prayer. And look at what John 14, 16 through 17 says. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because they can neither see Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. We do a lot of talk about the Spirit and having Spirit-filled worship. And a lot of times I think we get confused between the difference between getting a quiver in our liver and what Spirit-filled worship really is. Now, we can have great singing. We can have amazing communion service. We can have plenty of prayer. But if we're not in the Word of God, we're not Spirit-filled. I'm going to tell you, I am one of you. I grew up in the church, and I was told to read my Bible, and I had to read my Bible. They forced me to read my Bible. It was awful. I remember we had Bible classes, and for those of you who are in middle school and high school or elementary grades, we had Bible studies that we had to go home during the week in addition to homework, where we had to read the Bible, we had to fill out forms, we had to fill out little booklets, and if you didn't fill it out, guess what happened? You got in trouble. There's a couple times I didn't get it filled out, and so what did they do? The teacher said, well, Neil, if you're not prepared for class, you don't need to be in this class. You go sit in the hall. And we were at a church where when you sat in the hall, my dad could see you. So not only did I not get to be in class, I got in trouble when I got home. I understand sometimes when you have the wrong mindset, just picking up your Bible and reading it is difficult. But if you will ask God to help you with your doubts and help you with your relationship with Him, you'll get to the point that when you read your Bible, you will commune with God. And it won't be a drudgery. It will be a joy. And it'll be something that you're looking forward to. I know I have to prepare a lot of lessons and do a lot of study, and some of that is just for preaching purposes, but the best times I ever have in my Bible is not when I'm preparing a sermon, but when I'm just letting God speak to me. Look at what it says here. We must spend time alone with God. Now, the verse under that is a powerful verse because I love the way he puts it. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom. We have God's word so that I know how to comfort the weary. And then it goes on to say this on the second page there. And I want you to underline this. Morning by morning, he awakens me and opens my understanding to his will. What would that be like if we got up every morning and God said, okay, Neil, this is what you're going to do today. I could get rid of my task list because God already had the day planned out. Morning by morning, he awakens me with his will. that comes from somebody that's been in His Word. And a lot of times we get up in the morning and we think about all kinds of things other than God. You know, some people get up in the morning and they say, "Good morning, Lord." But I know a lot of people that get up in the morning and they say, "Good morning, oh Lord." Because they don't understand that God is with you and He loves you and He wants to help you through your day. Well, how do I start? Some of you may be thinking, "Neil, I've never had a God-inspired dream in my entire walk with God. How do I get those kinds of dreams? How do I come up with that kind of idea? How do I do this?" Well, the first thing I would say to you is growing in my character will clarify my dreams. Growing in my character will clarify my dreams. I think sometimes that God is waiting on us to grow so that He can use us. He's waiting on us to become who He desires us to be so that He can put us where He wants. I had so many dreams when I was growing up, and all of them pertained to money. I wanted to be a CFO for a Fortune 500 company so I'd have plenty of money. I think partly because of the fact the household I grew up in, we just didn't have any money, and I just thought, "Man, I got to have money because I'm tired of living like this. Pork and beans for dinner 3 nights a week, that's not for me anymore." And all of these dreams that I had, God was waiting on me, and He finally got me to the point where I was ready to listen to Him. And at 30 years of age, He called me to preach. But during that time, there was something else going on. He was growing my character so that I could be in front of you today. Look at what it says, and this was from our reading. "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." I want you to notice that the very last thing in there is the word love. Because in order for us to obtain spiritual maturity, we're going to have to learn to love others even when they're unlovable. That's when you know that you've made the grade with God. And I want you to look at these words. He says, make every effort to add. And the reason why he says that is because all of these things are ongoing things that you've got to continue to work on. You've got to continue to add. And love is the most difficult, because it's so much easier to disregard people, to ignore people. It's so much easier to dismiss others than it is to love them. It's so much easier to look at the person that's being rude to you and just dismiss them than it is to love them. It is so much easier to stay in your house instead of going to your neighbors and getting to know them and love them. It's so much easier to say that, you know, I work for corporate America and they don't like me to express my faith. It's so much easier to keep quiet about matters of faith with people you work with. But when you love others, no matter who it is that you love, you're being like God. Look at what it says. "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure," it's not something you have already, it's something that you've got to have increasing measures, "they will keep you from being ineffective or unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, how do I know if I have a God-inspired dream? It may very well be it's just my dream. I get a little nervous from time to time when people are talking about things that this was Spirit-led. And it makes me a little nervous because sometimes I don't think we can know the difference between what is Spirit-led and what is personally led. And because we're people of faith, we want everything to be Spirit-led. Amen? But sometimes it's just something that we think about. It's something that we just have come up with. So we need to be careful with that. But you can know if something is Spirit-led. And you can know it because God-inspired dreams are connected to glorifying Him and His church. They're not connected with my personal game or my personal fame. They're connected with glorifying God and His church. You see, if it's about glorifying me, it's not a God-filled dream. If it's about glorifying God and I don't get any credit, then that's probably Spirit-led. Look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." God is with us as we go out and we pursue His vision for the church. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to take a God-inspired dream and run with it, there is no better place on earth than here in this church. Because the leadership of this church wants nothing more than to glorify God and His kingdom. That's what you're about. And that's what we should all be about. Several years ago, I heard a story of a guy that just didn't talk too much. He was kind of quiet. He was backwards. And he was a little shy. He was a pipe fitter. And he worked construction. And he only had one friend. And he'd heard a lesson about how we were supposed to go out and make disciples. And he went to the preacher and he sat down with the preacher and said, "I heard your lesson where we're supposed to go and make disciples of other people." And he said, "I don't know how to do that. Will you show me?" And so the preacher took his Bible and he says, "Now turn to this passage right here and underline these words, and you need to read this to him." And then he said, he put a little note there, number one. And then he gave him the next passage, and he turned to his Bible and he put the next passage there and he showed him some more there. And by the time it was over, he had about 20 or 30 passages where he could show somebody the gospel truth through the scriptures. He said, "Well, I have a friend that I ride to work with, and we're working pretty far away right now. We're about an hour away. I'm going to lead him to Christ on this trip." So they got in the car. They were going to carpool together. They got in the car, and the guy that just never said much, never had much to say, handed him the Bible, and he says, "Go to page one." And he opened up the Bible, and he says, "Now read that." He read it, and then he says, "Now go to page two." And the whole trip, all he did was have that guy read one scripture after another. And by the time it was over, the guy was ready to be baptized and become a Christian. It was because a guy that wasn't very gregarious, wasn't very outspoken, didn't have a whole lot of Bible knowledge, didn't know how to answer a lot of questions, had a God-filled vision that he needed to do the work of the church. And he had somebody he wanted to see be saved. I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but I'm going to tell you this. When you bring somebody to Christ, even if it's just on an outer level where you've invited them or you've done something that is maybe helping them, God does something inside you. This morning, one of our members came up to me and she says, "Neil, you're never going to believe this." And I said, "What?" She says, "You remember that Bible you gave my granddaughter?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. I remember you asking for it, and your granddaughter came to church one day. I gave her the Bible. I never saw her since." She says, "Well, I went over there the other day, and she asked me what I was doing on August the 4th. And she said, why? She said, because I'm going to be baptized on that day. And there's a reason behind it. I'm not sure what it was, but there's a reason why August the 4th was her day. But in that, her grandmother was saying, I started talking to her, and she had all these post-it notes in her Bible. And her grandmother asked her, why do you have these post-it notes in your Bible? She says, because whenever I hear a passage of Scripture where a preacher or a teacher talks about it, I put a post-it note there so I can go back and I can look at it and I can study it further, because I don't always get it the first time around. That grandmother had more joy today than I have seen her in a long time. And it's because somebody she loved is obeying the gospel. And if you want to have joy in your life, it will be because you listen to the words that Jesus spoke, and you go out into the world and you get a vision for other people, and you start loving them. And whether they're baptized here or someplace else, whether they come to church here or go someplace else, it doesn't matter, because our job is to bring people to Christ and let them figure out their relationship with Him however they need to. And when we start doing that and we quit worrying about where they're going to go to church or what they're going to hear and let God figure all that out, we're going to be saving people by the dozens. And it's going to be you having a God-inspired vision that includes others. Each Lord's Day, we sing an invitation song, and we sing that invitation song so you have a chance to respond to the Lord's invitation. One of the things we can't imagine is how much God loves us. And I think sometimes we know who we are. We know the bad things we've done. We know the bad thoughts that we have. But I'm here to tell you, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what you've done in your past, God still loves you and wants a relationship with you. And one of the ways that you can have that relationship is by being buried with Him in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you can walk as a new creature. And as you walk as that new creature, all the sins of your past are forgiven. But here's what's really cool. All the sins of the future are forgiven too. So I don't have to walk around being scared or down on myself, because no matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, and no matter what I do in the future, Christ died for me on the cross so that I could bask in His love and His forgiveness. Maybe you've already made that decision, but as you're sitting here, you're thinking, you know what, Neil, it is time for me to do something different with my life. And if you need the prayers of the church, we'll pray for you. If you need guidance, we'll study with you. Whatever you need, this church will be behind you. But more importantly, even if you don't come forward, you can at least talk to God today and say, God, you know what? I'm not living up to the vision that you've given me. Or maybe you're saying, God, you haven't given me a vision yet. I want that vision. Or maybe you're here today and say, I've been that doubter person and negative all the time. Whatever it is, change who you are. Because if you've come in here this morning and you haven't worshiped, you haven't changed. Or if you have worshiped, you have changed. But if you're here and you haven't changed, it's because you haven't worshiped. Because every Lord's Day, when you have a chance to commune with God's people and with God, you have a chance to worship. And if you really worship, you'll be changed. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.